a pretty poor strategy on the part of the UNR. I don't want to go into the topicality, the two bits out of the counterplan, the solvency argument, and the all at the same time. I think that in this case, the 2AR should really capitalize on the fact that the 2NR probably has not done a lot of impact wave. You know, if I was in position, it doesn't matter what the affirmative wins, that sort of analysis, the comparative analysis. Usually, if the 2NR goes for everything, they're probably going to be doing more line-by-line debate.
And they probably don't even understand why one position outweighs another. That's why they went for everything.
Okay, sorry. Okay, well, I think that generally what they said is accurate. In most situations where a 2NR goes for everything, there's a general lack of, I guess, what I would call big picture analysis. They're so stuck on trying to cover every detail of the line by line that no one does any impact assessment. No one, even more importantly, there's very little comparison of specific evidence. In that situation, I think the affirmative is left with a lot of leeway to pick and choose what arguments you really need to go for at the end of the debate. And in those situations, I think the worst mistake you have 2AR to make is to try and engage the 2NR in this line-by-line spread. A much better strategy at that point, I think, is to reduce the debate down to, say, two or three key answers, kind of we were talking about earlier, and focus on those particular answers and why your evidence is better than theirs, why the analysis you gave behind those arguments is superior to theirs, and focus on those particular answers to try and win each argument. I think that engaging the line-by-line spread at this point just risks losing the debate and probably avoids capitalizing on what is most likely a huge mistake for the 2NR.
Yeah, but those answers that the 2NR drops, you definitely, of course, you definitely want to utilize those as offense. The other thing I want to say, and I guess it's cheesy that this matters so much, but in your intro, tell the critic, you know, what you see. Aha, 2NR goes for it all. They're missing key arguments on each position. They can't win, and they give no impact analysis. I think you could give a crappy 2AR almost, but if you give that intro and, you know, you let the critic know that that 2NR did not do a job of winning the debate, then many times just letting the critic know that, and you that know that you're aware of that when they go for everything, they don't make the impact analysis and they don't answer the different important arguments that the 1AR makes. And just, you know, that signal saying, they go for it all, that's a bad strategy. I don't know why, but for some reason that builds a connection between you and the critic, where the critic kind of gives you presumption in that debate as they're listening to your 2AR. They're like, yeah, the 2AR didn't explain that. Rather than just looking at it on the flow, they kind of have a negative view towards the 2NR, I guess, in a way, as they're trying to help you out to the 2AR because the 2NR went for everything.
I think you should take full advantage of that, but at the same time, you should also be aware of the fact that the judge might really understand where the negative is coming from on the second disad, and you know, if they really understood the disad, the 2NR might have been able to extend it to their satisfaction in a short amount of time. So keep in mind the fact that these things are ultimately still potentially round-winning arguments, so you've got to have some good substance on them. Sometimes I see 2AR stand up, and I almost feel like 2AR wants me to vote against the negative because of the fact that they didn't work picking and choosing, as opposed to because of the fact they're losing their arguments because they didn't pick and choose. You know, and I see some really brilliant debaters. You know, this is 2AR goes for it all, but maybe this is a debater who went for their dissat that they were winning for 4 minutes, and then just said, hey, I've got 2 minutes left. I will speedily, quickly extend through all the other stuff, too, to make the 2AR deal with it. But maybe they did have an argument that they were pretty much winning. And so you need to prioritize that appropriately. I don't recommend the strategy of going for it all, but at the same time, the fact that I only spent 45 seconds on a position doesn't mean I can't win the round on that position if the 2AR really chooses to blow the position off.
Since we're almost out of time, I'm going to ask the panel to give us a concluding remark on tricks and hints. And I'm going to turn to Jared to chat about flow and tell you the tricks and hints associated with flowing to these positions. I think it's a good place to start.
Well, I guess if people want to talk about this more in depth, I'll be happy to kind of talk about ways to give the 1AR in terms of not flowing the debate. I guess I can go into more detail, maybe make some graphs or things like that, or examples of it. But the best way to try and do this is to try and flow your 2NC answers as opposed to, or your 1AR answers as opposed to the 2NC arguments. So every situation, you've got to think, the first thing that's required is that you have a detailed flow of the 2AC. Right? You have to have the 2AC arguments down perfectly. In some cases, that means you may want to have the analysis that the 2AC is going to give with that piece of evidence written out as well. All right? The second thing you do is every time you hear an argument, then that you write down your answer to it. And this may mean you've already talked, this sort of requires that you've already talked to your partner about which arguments you plan to go for the 1AR, so if you know you're not going to go for four answers on the dissad, you only focus on those. And the only things you would tend to flow would be answers that you can't think of arguments to immediately. So that's the only reason you would flow in the 2NC. 2NC makes an argument you can't think of an answer to immediately, write it down. All right. Everything else, you're just flowing your answers for the 1AR. The second thing that will make this easier is if you and your partner have already picked out what 1AR extension evidence. I think a great idea for 1AR is to have extension cards for your best answers on each position. And if you've already got those and you already know what those cards are, then flowing your 2 and then flowing the 1AR, flowing your answers to the 1AR alone becomes significantly easier because you've already got a good idea of which arguments you're going to go for and which ones you tend to blow up a lot more. So those are the quick 30 or 45 second suggestions I have about that.
My 30 or 45 second suggestion, 2 points. The first is that problems in the 1AR and problems in the 2AR are usually problems in prep before the round ever begins. Usually if the 1AR can't explain an argument well, that means that the affirmative hasn't sat down between the two of them. They haven't written the first lines together. Maybe the 2AC wrote the front lines and set here. And so, most of these problems are fixed by a lot of prep before the round starts. The second is that lots of times the negative block will take an answer and they'll put 5 or 6 points on it. And if those points make sense, they're going to be winning that answer if the 1AR tries to quick extend through it and just says, here's what our original argument was, as a reminder. So you don't want to rely too much on a situation like that. If this argument is one that you've got to win, you've got to answer that negative blocking against it. If it's an argument that, you don't necessarily have to win, but maybe it's worth saying in case the 2NR doesn't talk about it much, sure, say it. But, recognize that an argument that's really well-developed and answered in the negative block is not yours by just repeating this tagline. And, you can't answer everything that the negative block says, so you just kind of have to be selective in that sense.
Yeah. The main closing comment that I have is to prioritize, and this is a theme that has run through many of the answers on the panel today. Prioritize your arguments, especially in the 1AR. You're going to want to put the most important things on top and stuff that if you don't get to, which sometimes happens, that is going to do you the least amount of damage. And also some way of indicating which arguments are the necessary arguments that you need to answer on position. Maybe circling them, starring them, drawing a box around them, however you want to indicate arguments that if you are running short of time, let's say you have 30 seconds to answer a dissat that you have prioritized last, if you just answer the 3 arguments that are the most damaging to you, then that way you don't spend a lot of time answering, the links that those are, things that are not going to get you as far as maybe turns or something of that nature.
I would have to say the first thing is make your 2AC give numbers. The best way to have an effective 1AR mm-hmm. is if the 2AC gave numbers for everything. That way you can go from number 4 on the dissad to number 9 on the dissad. You can say, on 2AC number 9, group their arguments, 1, 2, 3, and that makes it easier for the critic to follow. And that's what's important in the 1AR, is for you to be able to get through all the flows in a fast, efficient amount of time. If the 2AC gives numbers, that makes it very easy in the 1AR to tell everybody exactly where you're at on the flow. The second thing is, don't be a defensive 1AR. A lot of 1ARs approach it like, oh, I don't want to lose the round. I want to go and not lose the round. No, you have to approach it as, I want to win the round. When Gina says prioritize, in the 1AR, you can sometimes make the round go where you want it to go. You can funnel the round right into the 2AR's hands. But sometimes, though, don't get caught guessing. don't get caught thinking, oh, this is what they're going to go for this in the 2AR. I'm going to spend 4 minutes here. You know, don't get caught guessing. That's what the 2NRs want you to do also. So, you know, you have to be offensive. And if you get caught guessing, you're playing defense then. And you want to play offense. You want to drive the round into the 2AR's hands. So make your 2AR give numbers and then utilize the numbers in the 1AR. Because I think you can get really, I think that's the effective 1AR is when it's easy for you to identify where you're at in the flow. You don't spend all your time I'm on the argument, you have to say the long tagline, and then you have to go through what their answer. You got to be efficient in the 1AR flow and going through your 1AR speech.
Great. Well, panelists.